Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent this home to her right from the beginning, that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our lives.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. I have a special guest today. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery has been working with ADD and ADHD children and adults for the last 10 years. He is the author of Managing the Gift, Alternative Approaches to Attention Deficit Disorder, as well as his recently released CD entitled Managing the Gift, Alternative Approaches for Attention Deficit Disorder Daily Practice CD, with practical tools and skill sets for the ADD individual. Dr. Kevin is working on his latest book, tentatively titled Managing the ADD Gifted Child, scheduled to release this year. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. Little tiny glitch that they gave me one too many numbers when they sent me your phone. And I couldn't figure out which ones were the correct ones, so I just called your cell phone.
That is perfectly fine, but we have you on air now. I was looking at your book and the Managing the Gift, Alternative Approaches for Attention Deficit Disorder, and it's very interesting. I haven't been able to put it down yet. I like that you explore, you look at it from a different perspective instead of just the medical, you know, angle of looking at it. You look at it as from a spiritual perspective, correct?
Yes. I mean, I look at it from a spiritual perspective. And as you know, by looking through the book, I do deal with the physical, emotional, intellectual, as well as the spiritual aspects of ADD.
Yes.
So there is, when I looked at it, when I first started doing this work, because, you know, I had a full-time practice going, working with people, doing coaching and counseling, when basically, ADD kind of kidnapped me in my practice. I didn't go looking for it. It hunted me down.
That was one of my questions. I wanted to know what made you focus specifically on ADD, ADHD?
Well, you know, one of the things, Yvonne, is that like I said, I was in the process of having a full-time practice, and I had actually had just released one of my other books, because I have several books out. And I had this couple that I was doing couples coaching and counseling with, and, you know, they hadn't been working with me very long, and this man had decided that he had ADD. He had looked off the internet, he had researched, he'd read some books, and he said, I think that's part of my problem. And at that point, because I'm a spiritual coaching counselor, and I get information from all sources, so the intuitive and the intellect, which, you know, some people out there, when you say spiritual, they go, oh, yeah, those kind of woo-woo out there, you know. Not, you know, tie a string on their ankle, not me. So I did do what I call an intuitive scan. I kind of, like, perceived him for a second. And the first thing that came in my head, and I looked at this man and I said, it must hurt to be in your head. You never stop thinking, do you? And he started laughing, and he said, I never thought about it like that, but you're right. And, you know, now that was on a Friday. On Monday, I get a call from one of my students who's studying a healing system I teach, and she goes, can you help my son? I mean, that's how it opened up. And I was like, well, I don't know. I'll try. Like, what's up? Well, the child had been diagnosed with ADD. The school was insisting that he be medicated. He had run away from school. He'd run away from home. They had just found him again. He was 11 years old. And he said, you know, if you put me on that, if you put me on medication and I become a zombie like all my other friends who are being medicated, I will kill myself before I will live like that.
Wow.
And the school was taking the stand. You cannot send this child back without being medicated. Now, this was several years ago. That is no longer legal. But back then, schools could get away with it. Back then, schools, teachers, and guidance counselors were telling parents to go to their pediatrician and say, my kid's got ADD, can you write him a prescription? And it was happening. So this was not uncommon. You know, we're talking, you know, we're talking 10 years ago. But so when I went in and I looked at this child, one of my first imageries that I had of him was what it would be like to be born without skin. You know, like those people who are physiologically born without skin and they have to be in, like, air bubbles. This child picked up all of the emotional stuff going by him, all the energetic. It was like being born without a layer of skin because he was so sensitively tuned to everything going on around him. And after spending about 45 minutes with him and, you know, assuring him he would have some choices and things like this, and he and I really connected, I went out to his mother, and the first thing out of my lips was, don't you ever see this child as anything but a gift.
Yeah.
This is a gift. Now, we have to figure out how to work with it. So, you know, those two incidences, which, you know, standing by themselves, go, oh, well, you know, there's a long shot from there to writing a book. But I was leaving at the end of that week, Yvonne, to go on a six-week book signing tour through, you know, Borders, Barnes & Nobles, Bookstars, Bookstops, all that stuff, for my book that had just been released. In that 6 weeks, I cannot count the number of times people came to my lecture or, you know, my book signing, you know, and would say, do you have any information on ADD? Do you know anything about these kids? Do you know anything? You know, I remember a mother in Townsend, Maryland, which is outside of Baltimore, looking at me and saying, you know, they keep on telling me that I need to accept that my child is disabled. But when I see my child, I see this really gifted, wonderful being. And am I just being blind? Is there something wrong with my child? Now, I was not signing a book on ADD. I was not out there. I didn't have ADD on my business card. I didn't have it on my website. But people were coming to me by droves asking me questions. And within the next 6 months, for every client that I lost out of my practice, I picked up two that had ADD. And I wasn't, again, I wasn't advertising it. I wasn't going for it. And that, and at that point, I was, I had my master's, but I didn't have my doctorate. And I was starting my doctoral program. And my doctoral committee said, what do you want your focus to be? Because I chose a very unusual doctoral program where I co-created the program with my doctoral committee. Mm-hmm. And the invitation to get my doctorate, I had to prove to my committee that I brought something to the world. I literally created something that made the world a better place through its existence. And as my practice was being taken over by ADD, as I was working with ADD individuals, you know, 5 days a week, techniques started coming out, tools, greater understanding, more in-depth. I had one reporter refer to my work as the owner's manual to the ADD brain. And as these things were working, and as kids and adults were not needing to be medicated, were making changes, were stepping into more of their own power, that ended up actually becoming my doctoral thesis, which, you know, along with all of my work and my case studies, to prove, and, you know, I proved it to my doctoral committee at least, ADD is not a disease, not a disability, it's part of the evolutionary process. So, you know, and it became, that became the Managing the Gift book. But so that was the journey. That's why I say I was kidnapped. I didn't go looking for it. I didn't choose, quote unquote, to focus on it until, you know, it was a part of my daily life, so to speak.
And now the lady you was talking about, is that the story that's in the beginning in the introduction?
No, that's a different story.
Okay.
And I have tons of them.
I can imagine. And so during the introduction, one of the stories that you have is an email that you received, and the lady, and I'm gonna give a summary. She, you know, you came to her home and helped her out and helped her see that her child was the gift of ADD, and he went to making the A's and B's.
Yes.
And his esteem and confidence and everything changed. You say also that, could you explain the evolutionary part of it?
Yes.
Could you explain that part? What
okay.
You mean by the
evolution? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to give you a little postscript, which I actually will probably have as part of my introduction into the next book. I've got the outline and all that stuff, but you know, it's not solid yet, the next book. I talked to that young man that's in the email you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him about 9 months ago. He searched me down and he called me. And he's now 23, 24 years old. And he was going to be graduating when he called me. He was graduating that May from college. He was graduating with honors.
Mm-hmm.
He was going into the military as an officer. He was engaged and was leading a very happy, very high, I'm going to use this term, high-functioning life. I mean, he was going in as a military officer, had gone through very tough school, a well-known school, and graduated with all A's and B's, and had played on their football team, and had never, ever gone back to the medication he was on when I was first brought into the situation. And I just wanted to do that because that was kind of a neat story. You brought it up that this man actually sought me out to just – check in with me 10 years later to tell me that not only was it that summer, not only was that next year that his life, you know, took off and he went from failing out and failing out on medication, he was on medication and failing out, to really having, you know, such a great life and doing such great things for the world, and his commitment to go do great things for the world. So I just wanted to throw that in. I thought you might find that interesting since you brought the email up.
Mm-hmm.
The evolutionary process. When I started looking at this and I looked at kind of, again, you know, I look at things both intuitively, perceptionally, and intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something that kept on striking me that, you know, one of the things that occurred to me was, you know, we've always had some people throughout all of history. Galileo, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Socrates, Plato, people who seem to almost single-handedly pick up the culture and move it to a new level, turn it, twist it. They seem to be able to do any field they want or do whatever they want, and they make connections that jump humanity to its next level.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was starting to look at that, and I was starting to get this sense. I'm like, we're talking about something that's a process here. We're not talking about, like, why suddenly is, you know, like, because one of the questions people would ask me as I was talking about it and would ask me in my practice as I was going out and stuff like this is, why did it suddenly show up? Did TV create ADD? Did computers create ADD? And then it just, it really became a clear focus point to me. No, ADD created TVs. ADD created internet. ADD created computers. And then I had my research assistant actually go back and verify some things for me based on my kind of intuitive knowing. And when I did all, finished all the research and looked at everything, if you start to look around the 1850s, you have an increasing number of people that are being born that become the architects of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. Alexander Graham Bell, Einstein, Edison, all of these brilliant movers and shakers that brought us to the most advancements that have ever occurred in one century. And that this was the beginning of watching ADD as an evolutionary process, because evolution in of itself both is a change because of the environment and is a change to the environment. Both criteria you want to look at. And as this growing number of people that saw, perceived, sensed, and traveled in the world in a different way was increasing, they recreated the world that was in front of them to better serve them. And then it better served the increasing number of variations on them. And so I have a whole chapter in the book. But if you look at it, and I love the Alexander Graham Bell story because, you know, at 16 he dropped out of school and was considered the village idiot. And all I can say is, if 100 years ago we had had red stamps on the forehead, labels, and prescription pads,
right,
we'd still be talking on two tin phones and a piece of string.
yeah.
Okay? Think about what some of the names that I have mentioned brought to the world. And a lot of them, they dropped out of high school, they never completed college, you know. And one of my missions is to bring the heroes to those ADD kids and adults, the kid in seventh grade that's already been labeled as a troublemaker because he can't sit down and focus on something he finds boring and uninteresting and unchallenging. The kid who, you know, has already accepted the fact that he's, you know, not quite like everybody else, and it's a really terrible thing. The kid that has whose self-esteem and self-worth has already made him decide that he's just going to be thrown on the garbage heap of humanity, that he doesn't have what it takes. And I see these kids all the time that feel and see and think like this, and sticking a label on their head and a pill down their throat does nothing to change that reality.
So
I try to bring them heroes.
So pretty much they... children and adults with ADD and ADHD think in high speed.
Well, one of the things is they come in, and I'm sorry, you're on one of my all-time favorite soapboxes, so you have to stop me if I talk too long. but when these kids come in, I mean, these individuals are more sensory aware. It's not just thoughts. We always kind of focus on it's just that they, you know, that there's too much going on in their head. But these kids actually have more awareness to environment, things around them. They can have more food sensitivities, both good and bad. They can have sensitivities to fluorescent lights that have a pulse to them, that they're, even though for the average person, they learn to adjust to that pulse and shield it out and ignore it, because the ADD person is a little bit more delicately wired and is taking in more information, not just thoughts, but sensory information. These individuals, you know, are an interesting, it's almost like they're a paradox, because they can be completely insensitive when they're hyper-focused into their own thought they're trying to get out, or something that has absolutely fascinated them or challenged them, They can be completely insensitive, but when they're out in the world and they're multitasking, they're very sensitive to other people's emotions, other people's feelings, what's going on, and they will take them on as if they're their own. So,
it sounds a lot like autism too. As far as the sensory, and they go into sensory overload.
Yep. And you know, one of the things, and I do this some in the first book. I'm going to be doing it more in the second book, because you know the first book came out in 2001, and I have a lot of different things I do, as I'm sure you might have noticed if you went to my website. I have actually been putting more and more stuff in computer formatting. As an analogy description that's now pretty common language and is becoming more common language. And so your autistic child versus your ADD child, your autistic child may be having certain filters that are missing that allow them to put information in a way that they can express and access what is going on in their head into a verbal format and get completely overwhelmed by the sensory. The ADD person has some additional filters going on that allow them to, they're still taking it all in, and it can be distracting at times, but an ADD person myth that they can't focus. They hyper-focus, Yvonne.
Yeah.
You give this child or an adult a challenge, something they're interested in, something they want to know about, they will hyper-focus and they become what I call instant experts. Like this first man that I dealt with, who, by the way, was 62 years old in the couples work I was doing, because people always think of ADD as kids. But when he thought, I might actually be this thing, ADD, he spent hours and hours reading, absorbing, taking everything in, every book, every website, every piece of information, just complete hyper-focus, and made his conclusions and why within 2 or 3 days, where he probably did more research than some people do on a whole semester for their master thesis.
Wow.
Because when they're focused and they're interested, there's no place they can't go. And we see this in the little kids, which ends up causing the disruption in the classroom, which leads to so many complaints, is when the little kid is really interested in what the teacher says, as soon as they get what the teacher says, well, I'm going to teach you how to count, 1, 2, 3. Now, the teacher is trying to teach 1, 2, 3, 4. The kid goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And then they reach a point where maybe at 99 they're not sure where to go. And so the teacher's going, and so class, after 4, we have, what's after 99? Says this kid.
Yeah.
He's completely obsessed with the piece of information he wants. And the teacher just says, now Johnny, now Susie, we're talking about 4 and 5. 99, we'll get to 99 probably, later this year, next year. That child wants that piece of information now. Who wants to be told they're going to be waiting 6 or 9 months or a year for their question to be answered because their peers are still trying to make the connection between 4 and 5?
Right.
So then this kid starts multitasking, or he gets impatient, or he keeps on interrupting because he is on a trail. The ADD mind, Yvonne, loves to learn. It's passionate about learning. The only two things that the ADD mind part of the ADD individual loves more than learning is teaching and inventing and reinventing whatever they're learning.
Wow.
There's that wonderful process of how can I make it better? How can I look at it differently? How, sometimes I explain that, we're talking about, this is our planet and this is our biosphere. And the ADD person asks a question suddenly as if they were standing on the moon looking back at the Earth. We go, where did that question come from? Well, because they got everything you said. They got it the first 30 seconds you said it. It's 3 hours later. They're on a trip to the moon, and now they're looking back at the Earth. And the funny thing is, at a very young age, ADD individuals can start asking questions to parents and teachers they can't answer because they've never thought about it that way. You know, which is, you know, and that's an old, old philosophy, which I completely agree with. If you want to know how intelligent somebody is, forget about the answers they give. Listen to the questions they ask. That shows you brilliance.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you support these individuals, when you support these kids and these adults, and you make them feel safe to ask the questions will blow you away.
Do you think that feeding them the drugs, what in the long term, this takes away their ability to think beyond the present? You know what I'm saying? Like, think beyond, like you, the example you gave about the teachers is on 4, they on 99. The medicine keeps them at 4. Is so.
You know, one of the terms I first started using when I first started doing this work was, you know, let's face it, we have a drug them up and dumb them down approach. It's just easier to deal with them. Does it have a long-term effect on that? Well, I'm going to say that this is my opinion, and I want all your listening audience to understand because this is very important for me. You know, I am a doctor, but I'm not a medical doctor, and there is nothing I am doing that is diagnosing or prescribing here. You know, you don't take what I'm telling you and, you know, build the case on it.
Right.
You know, read the book. If you want to actually work with me, rebelslight.com is my website. You can actually contact me through there. But I just have to be careful because sometimes I say some things on the radio or on the TV and people try to take part of it to the bank because, you know, they're hearing it, but they don't know how to completely apply it or whatever. And I just, you know, I want to put that out there. What my sense and my belief is, especially from working with these kids and the question you asked, physiologically, I do not think it creates long-term damage that they cannot get back that very natural ability they have to let their mind go wherever it goes. What I do think, however, is the emotional damage, the self-worth, self-esteem damage, the confidence to speak out and go there, the willingness to participate in a dialogue kind of situation that promotes and supports the environment for that to happen in a healthy way can get destroyed. And so it can look like that even if they go off the medication, that they just, you know, that they never fully return to who they are. But, you know, think about it this way. If you had a small child and every time the child did something, you know, you beat them, you punish them for it, and you do it long enough, well, 20 years later, maybe you say, okay, well, you don't punish them for it anymore, but does the child ever return to who they were before you started beating them?
No.
No, there's an impact. There's this horrible impact.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not completely against medication, and I want to put that out there because I have been labeled in the past as being a completely, you know, anti-anti. I think that as part of a transitional process, that there are times when carefully monitored and used for a short period of time, that medication may help support a reality to give a child or an adult the tools, the skills, the knowledge, the ability to manage their gift without needing the medication. And if we used that approach, if we used the approach of this is a temporary solution that is underwriting our ability to do more effective work while we are doing other things, then okay, it can be a Band-Aid. But when we go into it, and then we hear the horror stories of, you know, the 14-year-old kid that drops dead on the football field because he had a heart attack, and he's been on Ritalin or one of the other ADD drugs for 10 years, and say, oh, why is giving speed, because that's all it is, most of the ADD drugs out there are in the same family of pharmaceuticals as cocaine, why would giving a young growing child a hit of speed 7 days a week for 10 years create a heart problem? I wonder why.
Yeah. You mentioned something that was very, well, everything you said is interesting, but you mentioned something about once you create a certain stigma in the child, and whether it's through medication, whether it's verbally or whatever, you create in their mind that something is wrong with you. And I think that that's something that not with kids with ADD and other kids, because I have a son with Down syndrome, and I firmly believe that if you raise a child to believe that something is wrong with them, that affects them really maximizing their potential. So I wanted to touch on that before we moved on. What type of support is available for parents?
Well, the first thing, you know, and I want to avoid anything that makes me sound like a conspiracy theorist here. I want to warn my parents to be careful. And first of all, I have to say, Yvonne, I could not agree with you more. When we limit and label a child with negative limiting and labeling, that child will live down to those expectations. They will not push through imaginary boundaries that have been set for them. They will not be told that they can ever do – they will stop trying to do things. And, you know, one of the things that I want to point out, and then I'm going to answer your other question about what are the support systems out there, but one of the things I found most interesting recently, and I don't know if you know this or not, but I have a radio show as well.
And feel free to give out the address. I mean, how people can tune in.
Yep. Weboflight.com, weboflight.com. And I actually go from a weekly radio show to a daily radio show in May.
Oh.
And it's on all sorts of different topics. So anyways, I'm not going to, you know, you can ask me questions about that afterwards, but I want to not lose this thought on you. That they will live, not only will they live down to that expectation and stop believing in themselves, they will take that brilliance that they have, especially in the case of ADD, and they will become extremely manipulative, because the more brilliant the child, the better they can manipulate. And they will use that. When we challenge children, when we challenge the minds, and one of the things I wanted to mention is, you know, I recently did a radio show on a little blurb. I found how they have now proven that people can actually increase their IQ throughout life if they do a certain list of things. So maybe you had 100 IQ or 110 IQ when you were tested as a child. But if there are certain critical thinking things you do, if you are always learning new things, there's a whole criteria. It was a very interesting article, and they've done a lot of research. You can raise your IQ by 5, 10, 15, 20 IQ points by how you're choosing to treat your intellect. Well, if you tell a kid they're not quite bright, but they're never going to be good at something, whether they're ADD or Downs or, you know, Johnny and Susie, quote-unquote, average kid, which we all know doesn't really exist.
Right.
okay. Then they'll say, oh, well, I can't take the upper-level class in college or high school because I'm not, you know, even though I'm really interested in it. I'm really interested in, you know, an advanced computer science class or an advanced Shakespeare class.
But I can't take it because I'm only an average student and I only have an average IQ, or I, you know, and they will not go after jobs. They will not do trainings. They will not follow that out unless they have a really strong internal passion that drives them past the label. So anytime we use any of these labels that limit them, you know, I'd rather be able to say to a kid, well, you know what? You were born with 110 IQ and you have a choice. You can make it go up or you can make it go down. Because if you don't use it, actually it will go down a little.
Yeah.
Because it kind of, you know, ossifies. I said, or you can make it go up. You can say, hey, I started at 110. I only got 60 points to genius. Now, which one are you going to do there?
Yeah.
What a different approach that is, right?
Yeah. And it's a muscle. We forget that the brain is a muscle, and you have to exercise it.
I have mine do 100 sit-ups every day, and then I go back to bed because I'm so tired.
You also have a CD, and the CD you give practical tools and skill sets. Could you tell us a little bit about the CD and what people can expect?
Absolutely. And I'm going to go back to your question about support out there. But
okay.
We'll start support with, you can find support in my book and my CD. How's that for self-promoting? one of the things is there are some things, and I don't do generalized, this will fix everybody. You know, in the book I talk about some things that I find in general have affected many of the ADD people I've worked with, but I try to stay away from the magic pill theory. I think that Western medicine has the patent on that concept, and I just as soon let them have it. You know, because we're all individuals, something that bothers one might not bother another at all. But there are some strikingly high percentages of ADD people who have issues with something we call shielding, which is actually protecting and keeping their energy disconnected from other people around them. The person who needs quote-unquote shielding is the one who always ends up being everybody else's best friend, taking on everybody else's problem, fighting everybody else's battles. Do you know anybody like that, Yvonne?
Not yet.
Hint.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm singing to a member of the choir, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're what we call in my psychic development class that you're an empath. You pick up people's emotions and end up fighting people's battles for them sometimes.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell. And so, anyway, in the CD, there's an AM and PM meditation where a child or an adult can listen to it. I take them through a journey where they actually learn to kind of protect and shield themselves so they're not taking on everybody's energy around it. And if we have a time, I'll tell you a true story about a child and what happened to one of my kids and why this is so important.
Okay.
So the CD's got the meditation. It also has an exercise that I do with my kids and adults about how to find negative emotions and take them out of your body, how to take excess emotions and get rid of them so that you aren't quite as so hyper or that your energy isn't what's unfocusing you. And then I also teach them emotional coffee breaks, how to better deal and process the emotions so there are not the meltdowns that can happen sometimes. You know, and interestingly enough, because you said you had a Downs child, some of these meditations, if you put them on and let your Downs child listen to them, I think you would find that there would be a tremendous difference in any roller coaster that they have.
Okay.
So just give it a shot and let me know.
I will.
But so that's a little bit about the CD. These are things that I actually do in my practice with the children and adults that are consistently helpful. And I finally broke down, put it out on a CD last year, and I didn't have any resistance to it. I just keep on petitioning for an extra, you know, one or two days a week, every week that I can have to catch up, and somehow my petition keeps on getting turned down. Can I just have an extra day a week, and I can get all these things done? the support systems out there. Be careful, parents. Read everything if you're looking to get support for your kids. Unfortunately, some of the largest, most major support systems out there for ADD are support systems whose beneficiaries are underwritten by the pharmaceutical companies,
mm-hmm.
and they will. CHAD, which is the largest support for children and adults that have attention deficit disorder, will never change its thing of that it's a disease or a disability. When my book first came out about why it's a gift and, you know, and caution against medication, when Dr. Sydney Walker came out with a book talking about the ADD hoax, about how, you know, it was being, you know, way overdiagnosed and medication was being handed out like candy, you know, they won't even talk to us. They wouldn't even answer my emails. They wouldn't even let me come and talk at their meetings. Now, who is their number one underwriter? The pharmaceutical company that produces Ritalin. Now, they're supposed to be an unbiased nonprofit organization, but any of their material ends. And, of course, appropriate medication is highly recommended, or you want to consult your doctor about what the correct medication would be. So, parents, be careful. Unfortunately, you know, if you play the loopholes right and you have millions of dollars, you know, that you give to somebody that sits around in Washington and lobbies, you can get away by having your marketing department be a nonprofit organization for the drugs you're pushing. And this is so prevalent in the ADD, ADHD world. Now, does that mean all the material they put out is inappropriate? No. They'll talk about some tools, some skill sets, some organizational stuff. But the whole way along the path is a way of constantly reaffirming that you need medication. Now, I'm going to tell you a true story here. And this is why I say be careful of support systems. School systems, and I say this with a little bit of hope, are getting better. I mean, I've gone into 504 meetings. I've been into IEPs. I've been across the table. I've actually been thrown out of meetings, which was illegal,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was bringing up that they didn't legally have a right to deny what the parents were asking. And let me tell you, my face has been on a lot of dartboards. But there was, and I don't know if it's still going on or not, but a few years ago I ran across when I was doing some of the stuff, and I had a research assistant that was really good at all of this because she had a child with ADD, so this was a passion for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know how teachers and counselors need continuing ed credits?
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, school budgets have been a big issue since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got past reading, writing, and arithmetic, two of the three words which are misspelled, so, you know, but that's beside the point, that schools are always looking for freebies. They're always looking for something that's not going to cost them. And there was an in-service that was going around this country that was being underwritten by a pharmaceutical company that was teaching teachers and counselors how to approach the idea that their child had a problem and medication would be a good solution for it. And what they would do, and I was saying this in a workshop, I was sharing this in one of my workshops that teachers did. What they'll do is they'll sit across the table, and you'll be hesitating. They'll be, you know, you really need to talk to your doctor. You know, medication might be a really good answer for Johnny or Susie here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's obviously gotten better since the laws have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But then they said, you know, it's always difficult to want to, you know, see if our child has a problem. But I want you to think about it this way. If your child was diabetic, would you deny them insulin?
Wow.
Okay. Now, I was saying this in a workshop, and I had a woman that burst out in tears, and she said to me, in front of every, you know, in front of the whole room, she was like, I was at an in-service a month and a half ago, and they said that, and I went and I let my doctor put my son on medication because I thought, what a horrible parent I'm being. Would I deny my child insulin if he was diabetic? It's not the same thing.
Right.
But they were in services, paid for by drug companies, going to our public education system, teaching our teachers and counselors to say things like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Support systems, they're out there. There are tons of websites. Obviously, I'm going to recommend get my book, get my CD. Go to my website. But also, look, and then look with a discerning eye. You know, a lot of the polish has come off, as it should. We're not in the 1950s anymore. Authority figures are not God. Not all politicians are honest. Not all doctors know everything and always make the right decisions. Not all police officers, you know, are high moral compasses. And certainly not all of our role models, like, you know, professional athletes, are what we should all want to be. You know, girlfriend beating, drug addict, lying, you know, millionaires who, you know, don't care about anybody else. Yeah, there's our role models today. The tarnish has worn off. So to the parents, be careful. You know, listen to things and search out maybe some alternative practitioners in your area. Or if you get a whole bunch of stuff and you're really confused, get in touch with me. We can do something on the phone and just put it in order in your mind and know what's reasonable and what's not reasonable. And know that you've tried everything. One of the things, because, you know, people take pot shots at my work all the time. They take pot shots at working with alternatives all the time. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to give you a handful of herbs and tell you to, you know, dance around the fire and you'll be fine. Yeah, that's going to help. But what I have consistently found is people who come to me and say, I've tried everything, within the first 10 minutes go, oh, my God, I didn't even know all those things existed.
Yeah.
And it's finding what the right thing is for you. Or the right thing is for your child.
Right.
And to be clear on the goal, and every time I speak, every time I'm interviewed on the subject, every time I do a workshop, anything like this, Yvonne, if anybody in your listening audience walks away and says, you know, maybe ADD is not a disease, maybe it's not a disability, if I don't look at it from this lens, if I don't see it through this set of eyes, how does it look different to me? If there's one thing I can do and make people stop being sold a load of crap that this is a disease or a disability, then I have been successful. My time has been well spent, and I'm a happy camper. If they get more out of it than that, then I'm thrilled. But if I can get that across, Yvonne, I've done something good that day.
At a loss for words. I think one thing I will say, I really, really appreciate your realness, your honesty, and your you're openly speaking about it without feeling like you have to be politically correct. I really do appreciate that because we don't need to say what people need to hear. They need to hear the truth. And I absolutely agree that I'm not quick to throw my child on drugs. I'm sorry. And like you said, you know, absolutely if they're diabetic, but even with diabetes, before, try diet. There's other alternatives before it gets that bad. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Hey, I work as a medical intuitive. I have worked with many diabetics in my practice, and with us working together, I have seen my clients I've worked with go from being classified as diabetic to being classified as non-diabetic and not needing pills. Not that I classified them. Again, I want to make this very clear. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not telling them you're not diabetic anymore. They go back to their doctor and they go, you don't need your pills. You're not showing up as diabetic now. Let's be careful and let's watch it. But that journey can be made back. And I agree with you. I'm just giving you the example they give. you know, this was the example that they were teaching.
Yeah. I think that, you know, my advice would be educate yourself. Educate yourself on other alternatives. I'm diabetic. I'm not on medication. And sometimes I'm afraid to tell people that because they're like, oh, no, you don't. But one thing that the doctor said, and I'm going to wrap it up, one thing that the doctor said to me that kind of freaked me out was, I said, well, what can I do? Because I had just found out I was diabetic when I turned 30. I'm 36 now. I had to think about it. And when I went to her, I said, well, what can I do to stay, to not be reliant on the drugs? And she looked at me like I was crazy, of course. And she was like, well, I said, well, what's the difference? You know, I had, you know, one of my mom's friends had was foaming at the mouth because his sugar dropped too low. And she said, well, without the medication, with the medication, your body don't have time to tell your brain that that it's time to eat something. Without the medication, your body, she was like, oh, that probably won't happen with you not being on the medication because your body gives you, your brain enough time for you, you know that it's time to go get you something to eat, or you can feel it in you can feel your levels either being too high or too low without the drugs, but without medication, you can't feel it. And I'm sitting there like, and you're trying to convince me to take it? You know, that was odd. So I decided to get the weight off, to exercise. I learned that, you know, just exercising every day keeps your levels, keep you leveled. But again, just like you were saying, I'm not saying, you know, for people to go out and get off the drugs and give up sugar and give up carbs like I did. I'm just saying educate yourself. Educate yourself where you're, regardless of whatever the special need is or the disability is or the disease like diabetes is. Educate yourself on it and look at alternative ways to you know, manage it. And I really, really, really appreciate you giving alternative approaches to ADD and giving people a different way of looking at it. And like we both said, educate yourself. The book is full of different information, the intellectual level, the spiritual level, and you touch on a lot of different topics in the book. So I'm through talking. but I really, really want to say thank you for bringing this to our attention and being real about it.
Well, and I laughed at the very beginning of your thing because, like I said, you know, that I have, you know, that I'm going from a weekly to a daily radio show. And on that radio show, I do, it's a different, like, theme every day. And on Fridays, I have a show that will be coming out every Friday called What a Load of Crap with Dr. Kevin. And no sacred cow is too good to not go under the knife. And I've done shows on political correctness. I have guest hosts from all over the world that will guest host a topic with me. And we've torn into political correctness a couple of times, and I'm going to be doing a couple of an hour-long special on it with a whole panel of people about how destructive political correctness is. What's the destructive side of being politically correct? That's why I laugh. And I appreciate your warm words and the acknowledgement. And, you know, we have to be careful in this world today. It's a litigious world. People who are out there that are taking you out of the mainstream at times, you know, become targets. for, you know, in some ways it's simply because, let's face it, pharmaceuticals are a $1 billion industry.
Yeah.
Western medicine is a $1 billion industry. They get a lot of power. You know, they don't like people who say, what about preventative medicine? What about doing things you can do naturally? How about changing your life and your diet? And they're getting better at that. But they're getting better because they've been forced to.
Yeah.
They didn't do it voluntarily. They went under gunpoint. Let's not, you know, talk about being straight up. Let's be straight up here. The AMA, you know, started getting approached in the 50s and 60s about widening preventative medicine, and that's another whole show sometime if you want to have. We can talk about, you know, some of the choices that were made in this country after World War II and some of the things that went on, Yvonne.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now I want them to take responsibility. I want the American Psychiatric Association to take the responsibility that they almost put themselves out of business until they went into bed with the drug companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm talking facts. I'm talking things you can
yeah.
find on the Internet.
With
you know?
The commercials everywhere you turn now, I've never seen as many commercials like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, hey, cigarette companies, not that I like smoking or I'm promoting cigarettes, mind you here, cigarette companies can't have an ad. They can't put millions of dollars into the economy by running ads. And I know I'm going to take somebody off, but, you know, if a day goes by and I haven't taken somebody off, then I check my pulse, make sure I'm not dead. you know, but we turn around and we let millions, billions of dollars be spent in advertising, feeding into hypochondria of millions of Americans, giving them a list of things, self-diagnosing themselves, telling them to run to their doctor and tell them that they want this and they want that. And then the doctor doctors would never get a kickback from a pharmaceutical company. They would never buy them a lunch. They would never take them on a trip. They would never do anything, ever, ever, to influence the doctors what choice they do when they write the prescription pad. We all know that that's true. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's be real and honest here. So, you know, there's a lot of it out there, and political correctness is just, it's a lovely way to let the villains hide.
Yeah. And keep people sick.
Well, and keep people ignorant.
Yeah.
You know, and at times keep people apathetic. And that's where it's shame on them. You know?
Yeah. I want people, share your website that have where they can go to get information on all your books. Because you like you said, you do, you have the books on ADD and the CD, but you also have books outside of ADD too. Is there a website where they can go to see all your projects?
Absolutely. Well, they'll see all the projects that are fit to see right now. I won't say all my projects because I'm always working on a ton of them. But weboflight.com, weboflight.com. If you go to this website, it's actually, when you get to it, it's called Dr. Kevin's Web of Light. There are articles. There are tools. I'm releasing a whole new free program in May, sometime in May or maybe the beginning of June, where people can get daily spiritual exercises to do to help improve their overall life and attitude in life. There are video clips. All of my books, all of my services are there, and you can get to the radio show there, which is a series. The series is called Outside the Box with Dr. Kevin. We do astrology for the week on Mondays, helping you understand what the planetary influences are so you can work with them. I do a segment on Tuesdays called Through the Spiritual Lens, where I have revolving co-hosts from around the world, and we look at what's going on in the world, and we try to discuss it from a spiritual but practical perspective. Again, I'm the most practical, pragmatic, spiritual person you'll ever meet. I do People with Purpose, People with Passion on Wednesdays, which is for people that inspire and motivate and whose stories will be the stories we cling to when the world's not going our way, but we keep getting up and fighting. And on Tuesdays is What's Cooking
where I have a regular co-host, Dara Jane, and I. We take emails from listeners, and we answer your questions that people, my listeners, have, and just chat and do things. And then on Friday, I'm launching the new show, What a Load of Crap with Dr. Kevin, where we're going to take one subject a show, we're going to kick it around, and at the end, we decide, is it a load of crap? Is it fertilizer with which to grow? Or is it a diamond in the rough? And then my listening audience gets a month to email me, you know, did they check it out? Did they like it? Did they agree with our assessment? Did they think that we were full of crap? And that's okay, too. So that's just a little bit of a lineup. You can find all of that at weboflight.com. And I've really enjoyed being here, and I've enjoyed the opportunity for you to allow me to really honestly express my passion and not try to fit me into any kind of box.
And again, I thank you, and it's opened my eyes to because I didn't really understand what ADD was either. So that it really opened my eyes as well. But I strongly believe what you're saying, and not just for individuals with ADD, but disabilities, period. We really have to educate ourselves and let go of the ignorance is not going to help our kids. So I really appreciate you coming on the show today, and I enjoyed you, and I would love to have you back.
Well, great, and I would look forward to it, Yvonne, and you have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.